You're listening to EPN, the e-podcast network.
This is Eric Dye, and once again, welcome to Enterprise Radio, your EPN channel, for exclusive interviews with entrepreneurs, small business owners, and some of the world's top executives who are having great success. Today we are speaking with Mr. Christian Schaaf, the CEO and founder of the Uncharted Supply Company that specializes in survival gear and is known for their flagship product, the 72-hour survival system. Certainly looking forward to hearing all the details. And Mr. Schaaf, welcome to Enterprise Radio.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And you're certainly more than welcome. Our pleasure. So tell us, what led you to creating the 72-hour survival system, and were there any tools that simply just missed the cut on being included in the bag?
Well, two parts to that. Why did I come up with it? You know, I grew up on a farm in Wisconsin and spent most of my childhood baling hay instead of playing baseball and just, you know, typical farm life. After that, I went to the University of Wisconsin, started playing in a band, and that led to playing for the troops overseas, which actually turned into 40 trips to Iraq, where we started solving problems for the Department of Defense. We were able to access bases they hadn't previously been able to get to. To make a short story long, bands had a lot of gear. They couldn't convoy, it was too dangerous, so their only option was airplanes, which meant they could only go to those landing strips. So we designed a PA system to fit into a Black Hawk helicopter, which opened up about 300 bases to provide entertainment to that really needed it. So I spent kind of an existence, you know, living out of backpacks, jumping out of Blackhawks, going home and working on the farm. I had a lot of marketing background, too. I helped start a cider company called Crispin. It's a hard apple cider that was acquired by Miller Coors. Done some work for Harley-Davidson, for GoPro, worked at some ad agencies. And then I took a job in California as a VP of marketing at an app company. And one New Year, I decided to go to Steamboat Springs, Colorado to go skiing. And it snowed 2 inches behind the mountains in Orange County. And I sat for 8 hours while people around me crashed into each other and kind of combusted. And I sat there, you know, 2 inches of snow for me where I'm from is no big deal. And it just hit home that, wow, you know, people, it's not that people are dumb. People just don't get life experiences like I did growing up anymore. I mean, people's parents used to be farmers or industrialists, and, you know, now they're kind of living urban existences. And when something happens, a weather-related emergency or car wreck or whatnot, they just don't have the experience to be able to navigate these situations. So after that trip, I went home and I worked with a bunch of friends of mine. I worked with special forces guys. I worked with doctors, with mountain climbers, with guides, you know, and I said, hey, I don't want to know what you have for you. You're an expert. I want to know what you would give your kids in an emergency if you weren't there to protect them. Like something that's very simple, that's very effective, that would help navigate a situation. And that's where we came up with the 72. So, you know, back to your question about if there are pieces that made the cut and missed the cut, it's very interesting because people always want to get specific to, is it an earthquake kit? Is it a hurricane kit? Is it a fire kit? You know, like a tornado? There's all these different kind of monsters that people live with day to day. The reality is the human body needs the same basic things to survive no matter what. It needs air to breathe. It needs shelter from either extreme heat or extreme cold. It needs water, and it needs food. And it doesn't really matter what the emergency is. If you have those four things, you can survive a long time. So for us, now granted, you know, there's probably different tools you need to stay warm in Antarctica versus staying cold in Death Valley. But generally speaking, the same ingredients kind of can help sustain human existence. And so that's what we focused on. We wanted a kit that was light enough that anybody could carry it. People don't think about, you know, they start packing the kitchen sink, so to speak, and now it's too heavy to carry and they can't move as quick. And they burn calories trying to navigate when they've got 40 pounds on their back. So we made something really light, really durable. It's airtight. It's waterproof. It can sit in your trunk for 3 years until you need it. And then it's going to be effective. None of that opening your bag to find, you know, corroded batteries or expired food. And so, you know, I always think the best products are actually very simple. And I look at our product and it's great pieces in it. It's highly organized. It provides instruction. It gets you to what you need really fast. And it's just a very simple execution on what you need. And so that's kind of what developed the 72. And the last point I'll make, the name 72 comes from a very well-known statistic that 95% of all survival situations are resolved in 72 hours, which means from 9/11 type things to going in the ditch on the way to go skiing, first responders show up within 72 hours 95% of the time. So our philosophy was, you don't really need a basement full of stuff most of the time. You just need the right things to get you through for a little while. And that's what we landed on. And it turned out to be very successful.
You saw a need and took action, and voila, you have a fantastic, phenomenal product. Really appreciate some of that backstory there. What advice would you share with other people looking to start their own company?
I get asked this question a lot. You know, I think when I go back and think about my experience on Shark Tank, that's where I go to answer this question. I think if you watch Shark Tank, which probably most people listening to this podcast have, they ask the same questions every episode. And I think those are really good questions to ask yourself. Questions like, hey, is this really solving a need that a lot of people have? Does it make sense? Is it easy to communicate? Is it high quality? Is it authentic to who you are as a person? For me, my whole life, all of my experiences dovetailed into creating this. And it's a very fluent thing for me to talk about and think about because I have almost 40 years of living this way. So I think when people have ideas, the thing I always say is, well, hey, you know, who's your target audience? How big is it? With direct-to-consumer being a big thing these days, you know, that's a funnel game. There was one thing on Shark Tank I'll never forget. It was Cougar Energy Drink, and it was targeted at, you know, the female demographic that people like to joke about calling them cougars. And there's no need for that. It didn't offer any benefits to people of that age, of that sex, you know, and so it got chewed up. But then somebody comes out with, I remember there was a little hook that you put on your car latch, you could step up and access your roof. Well, how many people drive cars in the country and how many need to put something on the roof or access it? You know, so there's things like that you want to pay attention to. One of the things I always think about is market space and not marketplace. I've always had a dream of creating a really cool outdoor brand, but I could never get around how I would compete against Patagonia or Oakley or North Face or Columbia. And what I kind of settled on is, you know, they're in the outdoor industry. They're talking skiing, hiking, that kind of thing. Survival is generally the same thing. I always say the difference between survival and camping is, one, you plan to go camping. Survival kind of happens. But it's all the same tools. It's all the same products. And it's all the same things you need. So we get to skate into this space that's wide open where there's really no competition and create almost a similar product to what I wanted to create. And then we can kind of tow the way over to kind of the adventure side, right? Like if you're a skier in the backcountry, you might need some survival stuff. If you're a mountain biker. And it gives us a more clear path to success without having to compete with these behemoths that currently exist.
Tell us, you just mentioned Shark Tank. Can you describe your experience in the months immediately following Shark Tank? And if you were to go back and change anything about that experience with Shark Tank, what would that be?
So the month after Shark Tank was rather quiet. What I'll tell you is we got our first call from them in December. We filmed in June. And the episode we were on was October 1st. So there was quite a bit of time there where we were going through the different levels. You know, there's kind of, okay, you submit the application, you're into the next round, you're into the next round, you're into the next round. There's a very long process. There's a lot of paperwork. There's background checks. There's patent checks. There's a lot of things that go on before you actually get invited out to L.A. And then once you get out to L.A., there's still like only a 40% chance of making it in front of the sharks. And then there's an even smaller chance that your show ends up on air. So leading up to it was a very like, it was a gamble. I mean, we were doing everything we could, but it wasn't up to us if we were going to be on the show or not. Fortunately, we got on the show. We agreed to a deal on the show. And then the month after was kind of quiet. It was talking to Robert Herzevec's group about, you know, the details of what the deal would look like and kind of going through our books and that kind of a thing. But where it got really exciting was when the show aired. And I should actually back up. There was a lot of, okay, I think they told us 2 or 3 weeks out that you're going to be on this date, so get ready. You have to make sure your website can handle the traffic. You have to make sure you have as much inventory as possible. You've got to make sure just everything is in line. I always tell people, it's kind of like catching the biggest wave of your life. Like, there's a huge wave coming in. You got to get yourself in position. You got to start paddling before it gets to you. You got to pop up and you got to ride the thing as long as you can. And it was a pretty wild experience, but a lot of fun.
And I can feel it from here, and what an exciting journey and experience that must have been. And the analogy of the tidal wave coming, that is perfect. No doubt today we're speaking with Christian Schaff, the CEO and founder of the Uncharted Supply Company that specializes in survival gear and is known for their flagship product, the 72-hour survival system, here on Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tell us, Christian, how was your experience using Indiegogo, and what were the benefits of using a crowdfunding platform?
Sure. So Indiegogo happened before Shark Tank. I had this idea for the 72. I came home from that trip and I thought, I'm gonna try to build something here. I was kind of looking for my next business adventure, and that one seemed to make a lot of sense to me. So once I got a product together, I started thinking about, well, how do I get this into market? And crowdfunding is such a great way to toe the water without having to commit at a much larger scale you probably would have had to 10 years ago. So I worked with Indiegogo. We got our page up. I'll never forget, we turned it on November 1st of 2016. And it was like the first day, most of the orders were friends and family. And it's kind of one of those, thanks guys, but this needs to catch on outside of my friends and family before we really have something here. But we had a PR team spooled up, ready to go. Things started hitting, the word started spreading. We got into a couple emails. And I'll never forget, there was one Saturday where I was a big road cyclist, and we had a 100-mile ride through Southern California we were doing, and I had my phone in my back pocket of my jersey, and it just buzzed all day. And there was kind of an inflection point where an email went out. It hit a lot of people at the right time, the right place. And I think that day we did over $60,000 in sales on our Indiegogo page. Well, I was out riding my bike with my friends, and I just remember thinking, wow, this is bigger than I thought it was going to be, on a daily kind of situation. And it was really exciting. So I'm a big proponent of the crowdfunding idea. I think it's a really great way to test an idea, to get early customer feedback, to allow you to kind of tailor your product before it actually delivers, and to just reduce cost and reduce risk while kind of getting a nice sample size to work from. I will say the downside, we've recently seen a few call it copycats that have liked what we've done, and now they are building almost identical products and trying to go through crowdfunding. And just to be fully transparent, one of the things I'm disappointed in is it's a little bit Wild West out there. There's not a lot of regulation. There's not a lot of Indiegogo or Kickstarter saying, oh, well, hey guys, like, there might be some copyright issues here. Like, we want to investigate. I feel like those platforms are set up to make money. And if you're going to sell something through them, they're happy to take it, which I understand. But I do see a time coming where it gets a little more regulated and a little more kind of, I'm not even sure what the word is, but it's a place that I think is going to kind of continue to evolve until it's a little more structured.
Helpful information there. What are some tips that you could provide to those looking to launch their own crowdfunded project? Is there anything they should avoid at all cost, and or are there any must-haves, if you will?
Yeah, so, I would say first and foremost, there's no real secret weapon to this. It really, I really believe that audience, the millennial audience, you kind of want to have your products wherever they are. And if that means on their mobile devices, on their website, in store, you're always trying to meet them where they are. So when we launched, it was getting on the right publications. It was getting influencers to talk about us. It was emailing our friends, asking them to spread the word on social media or just in conversation. It's just a lot of hard work. It's very much a snowball effect. You start rolling this thing, it doesn't feel like you're getting anywhere, but before you know it, you've got a big ball rolling down the hill. So I would tell people, don't overlook any aspect. If you think there's one little thing that might convert one more person, you should do it. You should continually be thinking about how to get this in front of more people and really building that out. From a campaign side, it's very much a educational thing. People come to your page, you want them to get engaged, and you want them to want to read more in the first couple sentences. It's very much just old school marketing. It's really great visuals. It's a great video. It's a powerful tagline that grabs them and makes them go, oh, wow. Like for us, it was 95% of everything happening is resolved in 72 hours, but 72 hours can be life or death without this kit. And for a huge audience of people, that was enough to get them to keep reading and to be convinced to give us money for our product. So videos are huge, taglines are huge, really great photographs. You know, one of the things that's interesting is a lot of these Kickstarter Indiegogo campaigns are started by individuals or very small companies. So perception's reality. When we shot photos, I was really focused on making us look like Nike and like Apple. I feel like there's a visual language to this where if it's not a good photo, if it's not at the quality level that people expect, they're not going to give you the money for a product that's less. And it's just such an important thing to make sure that everything's done as well as possible.
Christian, certainly have appreciated your time and joining us here today and introducing the 72-hour survival system, quite a product that really each household needs one of those. If you could, in conclusion, give us a one-sentence tip to those aspiring entrepreneurs tuning in from all over the world out there, what would that one sentence be?
Wow, one tip. I would say, you know, for me, I don't want to be on my deathbed someday looking back wishing I would have done something. I think in this day and age, there's a lot of opportunity out there. There's a lot of tools at hand. If you have an idea that you can't shake at night that you're excited about, just go after it. But don't go after it halfway. It's like fully commit, burn the ships. You know, one thing I didn't talk about was before I launched my Indiegogo campaign, I sold my townhome and bought 1,000 units. It was like 200 and some thousand dollars worth of inventory. I did that before I turned the campaign on. Most people wait, but for me, I knew that like this is where I wanted to go, this is what I wanted to do, and I was going to put my back against the wall and figure it out. And for me, that's what it takes to be 100% in. I'm not recommending everybody goes and sells their house and buys inventory, but fully commit. If you don't believe in it wholeheartedly, nobody else is going to buy from you. And I think that's the thing. So find something you love, find something that's authentic to you. Don't worry about failing. You have to look at the upside of things and just give it everything you can. And I really think the difference between success and failure so many times is just simple hard work and perseverance.
Well, Mr. Schaff, we certainly do wish you continued success and all the best. And hopefully we can get you back on with an update down the track. If listeners wanted to get more information on Uncharted Supply Company, where's the best place online to get further details?
Sure. So our website is unchartedsupplyco.com. That said, we show up just about anywhere. We're on Amazon. You know, we have our website. We run a lot of digital ads. So you type in my name or 72 or Uncharted, and we should show up. That's kind of one of our missions here, is to make sure nobody can't find us. So a quick search should find us. And, you know, I'm always here. Hit me up on Instagram or Facebook or send us an email. We're a small team that responds to everybody as fast as possible. And we're here to offer advice. Even if you don't buy our products, our goal is to make the world a safer place, and we'll do everything we can to support you in that mission.
And we certainly appreciate that. Again, all the best, and thanks so much for joining us here today on Enterprise Radio. Certainly was our pleasure.
Thank you. Have a good day.
And you as well. We've been speaking with Christian Schaff, the CEO and founder of the Uncharted Supply Company that specializes in survival gear and is known for their flagship product, the 72-hour survival system. And for further details, visit unchartedsupplyco.com. And this is Eric Dye, and you've been listening to Enterprise Radio, a part of EPN, the Enterprise Podcast Network. Tune in to our live location as we are streaming live 24/7. Around the world at epodcastnetwork.com/live. You can also find our live stream on iTunes Radio and TuneIn Radio, as well as the TuneIn Radio app for your listening convenience. And as always, we thank you for your support and for tuning in.
This is the ePodcast Network.